There is another way to learn. Where questions open doorways, where wonder leads us home, where every heart remembers the wisdom it has known. All learning reimagined, where passion meets possibility. With Teresa Songbird, come explore what learning can be. For parents, teachers, seekers, and dreamers, learning comes alive.
G'day and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And can you believe it, everybody? We are up to episode 8 of our Embodied Intelligence series. We only have today and next week to go. It's been amazing. Thank you for joining us on this journey. It's been fantastic. And I'm really loving the feedback that I'm getting from our listeners. Just makes my heart sing to hear that the micro practices are really helping you, and that there's shifts of perspectives looking at your body and how we can embody the intelligence when we are learning. And welcome to any new listeners. You can go back to any of the previous shows and you can also read any of the articles that I create. I create an article every week with activities that you can take for free, take them, use them, embed them, share them. That's what they are there for. And if you're interested in accessing that, you can go to bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined. So bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined, and you'll be able to find everything that you need there, which would be wonderful. So let's get into it. Today's topic is actually about wisdom across time. I felt like each show I'm sort of tying in ancient wisdom, but it actually, there's so much content there. It felt like it needed space just for that because, you know, wisdom's not actually something that we invent. It's something that we recognize, and wisdom has always been here across time. And as anyone who knows me knows that I love nature because nature teaches. Everyone knows I love stories because stories teach and experiences teach. And of course, all of this leads to the most important thing, which is life. Feeling alive, aliveness, and life teaches. And that's what learning is meant to be all about. It's not necessarily meant to be indoctrination or even taking on other people's thoughts and beliefs. It's discovering your own and doing that through observation, particularly with nature and experiences and direct life experiences, is certainly where it's at. And it's something that's happened across generations and cultures and traditions. People have been paying attention to those lessons for a very, very long time, eons. And so throughout the series, we've basically spoken about the body is electrical, how the body is connected. We've discussed fascia, our nervous system, the body as remembering and how it holds memory, and how the body communicates. So today it's sort of, we could put a big fat bow around it and tie a lot of it together. So what knowledge becomes information, and then what knowledge becomes wisdom? Because information and wisdom are two completely different things, in my opinion. Information can be read. Information is everywhere. Personally, I feel like there's just information overload, particularly with AI today. Everywhere you go, you can just find information at the top of your hat. You can just click your fingers and there it is. That doesn't mean that it accesses the wisdom, because from my perspective, wisdom must be lived. Anyone can give you information. You can pick up information all over the place, but wisdom is lived. And I feel like this is a really important connection to learning, because a learner can memorize facts. Let's take, for an example, the sea, the ocean. Learners can memorize facts about an ocean, and yet you cannot explain the experience when you're standing beside the ocean. That teaches you something completely different, because the learner can read about courage, but until you step up and you live courage and you live that experience, that teaches you something different. The learner can study relationships, and yet being in a relationship is very different because it teaches you something different. Wisdom often emerges when knowledge and experience meet. So, and of course, this is just my perspective, but I've really put a lot of thought into this. I've spent a lot of time under my beautiful tree and feeling the energy come up and bubble out of, oh, this is fantastic. And I know that my body holds wisdom if I actually bother to listen, I guess. But, you know, never before in history have we had access to so much information. And yet from what I'm seeing and what I'm observing and conversations I'm having with people, many people feel increasingly disconnected from themselves or each other and certainly the natural world. And I'm not criticizing because, you know, I'm one of them. It's just something that I'm noticing and other people are starting to notice it too. You know, I walked into a restaurant the other day and I was looking at this family and they were all sitting there. It's just such a beautiful family, young children, and the parents were there. And every single person was looking at a screen. So the children had iPads and the adults had their mobile phones out, their devices out. And the information was flowing. Communication was happening, but it was not with each other. There was no eye contact, no presence, no shared stories, no sharing food, no laughter. It was almost like they were sucked down into that screen, and it held their attention. And it really made me feel a little sad that that's where we are at today, rather than feeling that connection with each other. And that does really invite that interesting question is, as humanity, as we are gaining more information, are we becoming equally skilled at noticing what's happening directly in front of us? Because it feels to me like we're not necessarily exploring all of the possibilities because we are distracted. And so then that reminded me of when I was a child, and I've told many of these stories, particularly on my very, very first episode, which was well over a year ago, when I love to go be on the beach with my family. And if you go fishing, like I used to go fishing with one of my grandparents, and she knew exactly where to cast the line. You know, she understood the tides, she understood the currents, the weather, the habits of the fish, the fact that my talking, my incessant talking as a young child was scaring away the fish. She understood all of those things, and that wisdom did not come from a textbook. Mobile phones weren't even invented back then. The internet wasn't even invented back then. It all came from observation. It came from paying attention, and it came from spending time with the ocean and learning through that experience. And that knowledge became wisdom. And of course, she passed that on. Now, one of my brothers, I have three brothers, certainly took that on, and he is such an amazing fisherman. He just has to, he is so connected to wildlife. It's amazing. Me, fishing and me, just, oh, not good. I don't have the patience to sit still for that long. But I didn't necessarily embody that one lesson, but he certainly did. You know, the ocean teaches patience and timing and humility, the fact that you cannot control the tide, you sort of can command the weather, but not really. And you can't force the fish to bite. Well, maybe there's someone out there that can, but, you know, from my perspective, I wasn't able to do that. And the ocean really invited a relationship rather than control. And this really felt like wisdom. And it made me often ask questions like, why are we here and how do we live well and how do we navigate change like the tides? Every time the tide goes out, the sand was different. There was different coral, different shells, different debris on the beach to go and explore. It was always fantastic and gave a sense of peace. And then, of course, you think about the ancient wisdom with the navigation and the stars. You know, I'm thinking about sailors, you know, navigating vast oceans, and they didn't have a GPS saying, you know, in 500 meters, turn left now. Certainly didn't happen. You know, the stars and the currents and the wind patterns and the bird migrations and the, Oh gosh, the cloud formations, all of this was observation, and it was pattern recognition, one of my favorite things, recognizing patterns, and of course, relationship and wisdom. And, you know, stories are wisdom carriers. People assume wisdom's only found in books. No, they were being told and passed through stories and myths, certainly songs, lots of oral traditions and parables and legends. And often stories survive because they contain patterns that still remain relevant today, which embeds that wisdom. Which really makes me ponder, I don't know if you're curious about this as well, but what knowledge actually survives across generations? With the generations that we have right now, what knowledge is going to move forward into the future from person to person, not necessarily using technology? And why do similar ideas appear in different cultures? Some of those cultures may have never met across the world in ancient times, and yet there's so many similar ideas across those cultures. You know, how did that ancient wisdom get there? And what does that actually offer modern learners today? There are so many people that are looking backwards to try and navigate what we're doing forwards. And of course, the wisdom is there is no past and present. Time is an illusion, and we just need to be in the present moment. The now moment is what creates everything. It's amazing. There's just so much to sit and ponder on all of this. You know, and what happens when we combine observation and experience and curiosity? As you know, I love questions. I really love to sit and ponder on these questions. And I often don't have the answers, but it doesn't matter because I've put the question into the field, and then my brain, the wonderful tool that it is, will seek the answer. It's amazing how the answers for my questions will come to me. They're manifesting faster now. Sometimes I get the answers almost instantly or within an hour. It used to be within a day or weeks, but the answers come when I'm asking them, particularly when I'm speaking them aloud, because, you know, speaking, as we know, is vibrational, and that's a creational level. So I want to come back to, well, what do we currently believe in this modern society that often assumes that newer is better? It's not always the way, in my opinion. Newer is not always better. You know, there's new technology, new information, new discoveries, and yet so many of them are old discoveries. And certainly many advances have improved our lives. I totally get that. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just wondering if in the pursuit of innovation, sometimes we can overlook the timeless wisdom that's always been there. You know, it's not old wisdom, but it still continues to prove useful. And so it seems to be the Western society that and Western communities that are doing this, you know, feeling that the newer is better. And maybe it's because our brains like novelty. I don't really know. I'm not quite sure of what it is, but I do know that there are certain societies and communities in our beautiful planet, on our beautiful planet, in our beautiful realm, that have really got it together because they haven't forgotten the ancient wisdom and they have that balance. Certainly the wisdom of observation. I mean, before there were laboratories, people just observed. They watched the seasons, they watched the animals, the weather, the stars, the rivers, the relationship, the growth. You know, over generations, these observations became stories and teachings and traditions. And at their heart was the simple practice of paying attention, noticing the patterns, and learning from experience. And so when I go back to wonder about that family sitting at the restaurant, all so absorbed in their devices, what is the future going to hold if we all become like that? Where is the storytelling and the paying attention rather than being fed and being a consumer of information? How do we live experience as well? And, you know, a couple of the episodes that we've had in this Embodied Intelligence series has been about the body as a teacher. And it's really, it's been amazing. This has really shifted me personally, investigating and researching and coming up with the notes of what am I going to talk about this week. As I'm designing this, it's really made me stop and reflect. And the body as a teacher has been something that I've actually shifted some of my practices with the micro practices. And it's changed and deepened my understanding of going within and my discernment, because I'm so much more in tune with my own body now, and it will tell me whether something is a yes on the right path for me, or no, or maybe a not yet. And you know, fear changes breathing, joy changes posture, grief also changes energy. This is all alchemy that's happening right now. And the belonging, sense of belonging can change the way you feel. The body is always teaching us, and the emotions, of course, are integral and part of this. What I discovered was that I was not listening. The body was always communicating with me, but I was not listening. Well, I am now, but I wasn't always. And when I'm feeling into that family that was sitting at the restaurant scrolling on their phones, are they aware of their own body language or their signals? Or is the energetic weather overwhelming their senses? The energetic weather is everything else in the world, not themselves. Because the body's also asking for conditions. You know, the body craves sunlight and fresh air, certainly movement. And it doesn't have to be movement in a gym with no pain, no gain mentality. No, just movement, nourishment, touch, community, beauty, stillness, purpose. You know, they're not luxuries, in my opinion. They are inputs into your body. Just as a plant requires certain conditions in order to grow and thrive, so do we. And the body is often communicating with us what it needs for us to be able to thrive, because, you know, newsflash, the body is us. It's part of an aspect of us, our whole multidimensional self. We are living in this physical reality, and our body is part of it. So with the ancient wisdom as a lens, you know, as I mentioned before, it's not ancient because it's old. It's because it's simple and timeless and practical, and people still find it useful. So the examples that really landed with me, and I even wrote them down. I'm going to read them out because I've got them on a sticky note in front of my desk, to remind me to just, I look up at it every now and then, and it just sort of reminds me to settle back in. And the first one that I wrote down was pay attention. I didn't realize how often my mind drifted or was distracted until I learned to bring it back to pay attention. What am I putting my attention on? Because that spotlight is literally creating my reality. So it's very important. I'm quite fussy about what I observe, who I talk to, what I put into my field, because I don't want my attention being pulled in someone else's direction with someone else's agenda. The other thing that I wrote down was observe nature. You know yourself, listen deeply. That was a good one. Listen deeply. Honoring relationships, learning from experience, which is, of course, you know, that's my everyday. It's just another Tuesday, quite frankly. And living in harmony with life. Harmony, peace, balance. Do no harm. Natural law, of course. It's so important. And you know, these sorts of themes are across all the different cultures. You know, everything is connected. Life moves in cycles. Actions have consequences. Balance matters. Relationships matter. And most importantly of all, in my opinion, self-knowledge matters. You need to know yourself. It's one of the most important things that we can possibly do. And you know, I like to tie things into natural and universal law. With universal law, this comes into patterns and principles. What wisdom continues appear, no matter where we look, if it keeps coming up with the patterns, then there's definitely something in that for us. And this certainly matters for learning. You know, some people say, but you know, education is about information. Well, I don't really feel like it's just about information. It needs to also be about wisdom. Knowledge tells us something, but the wisdom helps us know when and how to apply it. Isn't that what it's meant to be about? living our learning for everyday life. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, you can know many facts. I've seen many children that get straight A students and they know all of the facts, and yet their life experience, it doesn't match. So getting a good grade ultimately does not necessarily translate into having a fantastic, full, abundant life. Experience and reflection and discernment and relationships and observation are still a really key part of awareness and the conditions that will help you flourish. What conditions do you need to help you flourish? I know for me, I need to slow down, have presence, have reflection. It's something that's really I've grown into over time. I know I need conditions of safety. My nervous system needs to feel safe and settled in order for me to connect. If I'm in fight or flight, then I really struggle with that. So safety and talking to my nervous system, it's okay to expand because sometimes your body wants you to stay in what you already know. It wants you to stay in the comfort zone, and it's doing its job. It's protecting you. And sometimes I have to communicate with myself and say, it's okay to expand. It's okay to learn. We are safe. And I have that connection and that communication with my body. I know that one of the other conditions to help me flourish is to help my body move freely, hydration, breath, nature. And of course, memory needs to be part of this. You know, what conditions help create new experiences? Well, safety and repetition and curiosity. Something I've already mentioned, which is presence. And I don't mean presence underneath a tree or a gift for someone else. Presence. So when you pay attention and you are fully there, you are in the now moment. You know, it's almost being in the rhythm of life. It's in flow state, being present. That certainly helps me flourish. Does it help you flourish? I don't know. I don't know you. I haven't met you. I don't know what helps with you, but this is what speaks to me. Expansion helps me flourish. I'm constantly wanting to learn and grow new things. And being able to expand and evolve is fascinating. I love it. I really feel like life would be really boring without it. But in order for me to expand and grow, I need rest because I have to have space to learning. I also need support. Can't do it alone. And something that I'm still learning is patience because I want everything to happen yesterday, of course. I don't know about you, but that would be me. Oh dear. Conditions. Another one is identity. And this is a really big one because we have to know ourselves. Who is your identity? And your identity is not your job. It is not what you do. That's not your identity. That's not who you are, your authentic self. So when you strip away the labels, it's like, who are you as a being? And that's worth an actual whole show on itself because there's just so many labels out there today. And people will say, you know, I'm a this, I'm a that, particularly medical labels that come in as well that sort of shape your identity. And yet, there needs to be discernment there with the labels. So, self-observation on who you are and what's important to you. What are your values? What do you stand for? If you strip away the labels, who are you underneath? What's your default personality like? Your default mood, your default energetic state. What is that like? I mean, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else, but my default state is often joy. I even if I do feel sad or if something happens and my emotions peak, very quickly I go back to my default state. Of always being optimistic and being playful and seeing the bright side of things. I don't know why. I used to say, oh, I'm just wired this way, but I've realized that that's actually not the case. I choose this. I have been choosing this emotion for so long, it's actually become part of who I am. I consciously chose it. And we have a lot more power than what we feel. But that's in order to do that, you need to be present and in tune with yourself and aware of when you are becoming a creator, what are you creating versus a consumer, which is what is being, what's the word? Programmed, I guess, into you. And I don't mean programmed in a nasty way, it's just the way we are. We are programmed. Or indoctrinated in some cases by our society, by our families, by our education systems. That's just how it is. I'm not judging. It's not good or bad. It's just how it is. But if we know ourselves, we can choose what it is that we want to believe. And that's where the wisdom comes in. You know, what conditions help us learn from life? Attention is definitely one of them. I feel humility and compassion are also really important, and they're something that I've seen is starting to slip away in some children. There's a sense of entitlement there that I'm seeing sneaking in, and humility and compassion for others, particularly those children who spend a lot of time in technology. It's something that I don't necessarily see being similar to what I experienced when I was at that age. So I'm really curious about that, actually, about how that's going to go. And of course, we need to integrate this and embody this into what we've learned into our lives. So there's so much there where we can bridge all of this into our identity. Now, I did actually want to mention a couple of books and films that have helped because there's a lot of ancient wisdom in them. And one of them is The Ringing Cedars of Russia. I've mentioned it before, but if you have never heard of the Anastasia books and The Ringing Cedars of Russia, I highly recommend you to go and check it out. There's actually a lot of free YouTube clips that unpack this because the books themselves are quite expensive these days. I don't understand why. Well, actually, I do have an idea of why it might be, but the ancient wisdom that are in these books are amazing and they invite reflection on our relationship with nature and community and learning and family and what it means to live harmony in life. There's so much wisdom in them. And then you think about films, you know, some of the children's films are the best, like The Lion King has great wisdom on identity and responsibility and belonging. Moana has great wisdom in following your calling and having courage and the relationship with the ocean and knowing who you are. And then there's books like The Alchemist, which is about, you know, trust and purpose and following your path, or Jonathan Livingston Seagull. It's an oldie, but it's a classic about growth and learning and possibility. There's just so much out there that we can dig into to have a look at this ancient wisdom. And so the micro practice that I had created this week is about pattern spotting. And then there's another additional micro practice I'll have in my article this week on wisdom walks. You know, what is life showing me today? So check that out so that you can see it. I've also put together a weekly integration and reflection questions as well. But, you know, wisdom is available to anyone who's willing to observe, reflect, and really just learn from life itself. You know, life is always teaching us. It's just, are we paying attention? And for me, life flourishes when the conditions support life. So reflecting on, well, what conditions help me flourish? And that's all I have for you today. My love to you all. Thank you for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Carry the wonder with you. Carry the questions home. Every seed of understanding has a life of its own. All learning reimagined, where learning comes alive. With heart, with hope, with courage, we help the future rise. With Teresa Songbird. Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, keep remembering.